This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, May 12th, 2024. Genuine Religion.
Well, good morning, Connection Church, once again. Good morning. Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's kingdom? Amen. Boy, what was going on here this morning? Let's give God a hand. Yeah. What a glorious, glorious, glorious day. So we're on week two of our series called Genuine. Last week we talked about what James had to say about genuine faith, concluded that it is by faith and faith alone that we are saved. But as James shares, safe without works, faith without doing something is kind of dead. It's kind of dead faith, yeah. And then, so this week we're going to talk about genuine religion.
Genuine religion. So before I get started, I just want to say our next baptism Sunday is on Father's Day.
Ooh.
And if you are interested in baptism or reaffirmation of your baptism, please let us know so that we can go ahead and talk to you about what that means. We're going to, on that day, have some, we were going to have a baptism by immersion at our house following church. So it's going to be a big, big day. We're also going to have baptism reaffirmations in July. I think the Harrison and Dalton are going to reaffirm their baptisms. We need to schedule that date too. Lots going on. It's very exciting to see the fire brewing in the hearts of our church. We are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We stand before you humbly as we share this message. Would you pray with us, please? Almighty God, thank you for today. Thank you for this church, this family of God, and settle us in so that we might receive your word found in Scripture. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So when one of our daughters was in college, she was going out with this guy, and they got into a conversation about religion. Funny, isn't it? A pastor's, double pastor's daughter getting a conversation about religion. But anyway, and she told the guy that she was Methodist, and she said, what are you? I guess he hadn't been in church for a while because he couldn't quite remember what he was, but he says, I think it's one of those that starts with P. So our daughter says, Presbyterian? I said, no, not Presbyterian. Pentecostal? No. He says, oh yeah, I remember. Episcopal.
That's a true story.
That is absolute true. And thank goodness that was a short-lived relationship. Whew! There you go. Episcopal.
So we are a Methodist congregation. We are affiliated with the Global Methodist Church. But that is not our religion. Our religion is Christianity. So what makes that our religion? Well, the Collins Dictionary defines religion as this. It's a belief in God or gods and the activities that are connected with that belief, such as praying, worshiping in a building such as a church or a temple. And so there are a lot of different religions around the world. There are many different gods around the world. There are many different ways to worship around the world. Earlier, we stood and said what we believe as Christians, as a congregation of faith. We said we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for us, that he rose again, so that we may live with him here on earth and eternity. We said that we believe in the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, who is our guide, who is our convictor, who is with us in our hearts when we claim Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, Christians have a lot of different ways that they live out these vows, that they live out these beliefs. And we are not here to say that anyone is we're not here to cast any kind of judgment. We're just sharing what we believe as Connection Community Church. And so there are a lot of different strands. We've got several different strands of Presbyterian, several different strands of Lutheran, several different strands of Methodist. Of any denomination, there's a whole bunch of different ways. And there's a whole bunch of different understandings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we have a dictionary definition, so to speak, but religion has to be more than a dictionary definition, don't you think? It has to be more than just boom, boom, boom in a book. You know, people don't give their lives, they don't give their time, they don't give their talent, they don't give their treasure to a definition, to just a concept, to merely an idea. There has to be more. It has to be some kind of an emotional connection, a relationship. You know, Jesus' followers, his disciples, from what we understand, every one of them died for the faith. You don't just give your life for no good reason. It has to be a connection. There has to be, well, in this case, a person, Jesus. That's what we say, that's what we mean when we're talking about genuine religion. It goes beyond a mere definition to an emotional connection, to a relationship, to a person. It takes it off the page and puts it into the heart, soul, mind of the believer.
So this is what James is talking about in his book, written by himself. And in the first chapter, verse 26, this is what he says. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Now, it's really interesting that he's talking about religion and then he talks about the tongue. Well, genuine religion is built on a relationship, right? A relationship. And what is the one thing that can destroy a relationship quicker than anything else? The tongue. What we say, what we don't say. We can destroy, we can build up. For those who can't control their tongues, James says, religion is worthless. That's like, wow, in our face, wouldn't you say? Wow. Why does he focus on the tongue so much? Why is this so important? Well, two chapters later, James describes, or he devotes the first half of chapter 3 to the importance of, he calls it, taming the tongue. Say taming the tongue.
Taming the tongue.
Yeah. So he compares this to horses and ships. Interesting. He says that a very large animal, like a horse, can have a bit in their mouth and they can be turned and directed by just one little bit in their mouth. He talks about a ship where a rudder that's smaller in comparison to a big ship, the rudder can steer this big ship, right? Likewise, the tongue, which is a very small part of our body, it can make great boasts. Like an entire forest can just burn up with one little spark, the tongue can set the course of a lot of lives by building up, by tearing down. I'm telling you, I've got in my head sometimes some tapes that rerun of things that have been said to me that have defined me, that I've had to walk away from and not focus on, and then other things that have built me up and encouraged me. The tongue is a powerful, powerful tool in our lives.
Several years ago, we were in Orlando. And we went to SeaWorld, and they had a creature there called Shamu. Anybody ever seen or heard about Shamu? Yeah, Shamu is a killer, notice, killer orca whale. The thing about Shamu, that whale was tamed and trained by trainers there at SeaWorld. We've seen elephants in the circus. Elephants tamed and trained by the trainers. Those are some BHCs, don't you think? That stands for big honking creatures. I mean, you get next to orca or next to an elephant, and yet they were tamed. James shares with us in chapter 3, the tongue just a little bitty part of the body. Just a little bit. He says, yet no human can tame the tongue. Wow. Wow. He says, this is tough. He says, it is a restless evil. You know, restless, never settled, evil. Evil comes from Satan. A restless evil full of deadly poison. Deadly poison. Think about that. Restless evil full of deadly poison. That's how powerful your tongue is. It's how deadly it can be. So it can be a weapon of destruction, or it can be an instrument of good. Each of us possesses one, and we have that choice. We do. James said you can't tame. We do actually, with God's help, we can tame the tongue. We can use it for evil, or we can use it for good. We can use it to tear down, or we can use it to build up. We can use it to horrify, or we can use it to glorify. James says that out of the same mouth can come praise or cursing. Yeah. So what about you? Can you keep a tight rein on your tongue? Or as James says, is your religion worthless? How are you using your tongue? You know that old Christian song says, they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? They'll know we are Christians by... What if we sang the song, they'll know we are Christians by our tongue? by what comes out of our mouths. And the thing is, can people tell you are a Christian? Not by that little gold cross on the chain around your neck, because a lot of people wear that, and I think it's just jewelry. But by the words that come out of your mouth. And I'm not talking about constantly quoting scripture all day. I'm talking about using words that are grace-filled, that are kind and caring, especially to those people that no one cares about.
And that's what James focuses on in this, in his book, James chapter 1, verse 27. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and children in their distress. That's an interesting thing that he is pointing that out, religion that's pure and faultless, genuine religion. It's not really complicated. You do not need a Bible degree. You do not need a seminary degree. You do not need to be a leader in a church. You don't need to be on any board. All you have to do is care. Genuinely care. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. And so James spotlights the orphans and widows because back in that time and in that culture, they were nothing. They didn't count. They weren't cared for. They were vulnerable. They were overlooked. Today we want to expand that because we believe that that's representative to a larger group, which we call, and Jesus calls, the least, the last, and the lost. We are called to care for people that others don't care about. We are called to care for those who can't care for themselves. We are called to care for the ones that are easily forgotten by the rest of the world and left behind.
And so as a church, Connection Community Church, we do our best to care. We do our best to provide where we can. In February, we do a widowers Valentine Day ministry. to remember those that might not be remembered on that difficult day. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we provide food for those who need food, the food ministry here. We also contribute to the in-town Our Daily Bread, who provides meals for those in need. And so we give some funding and sometimes help out there. 5 of 7 days a week, we provide space for the recovery groups. We have like six recovery groups coming here for some space. We provide funding for our friends in India to provide food and uniforms and education for the children in the slums. Now, you may have seen, think you've seen some slums here. You have not seen slums till you've seen the slums there. Those children who are the most forgotten. Here at church, we provide funding and leadership for children and youth to help them learn more about God and to get ever closer to Jesus Christ. We saw that this morning with our baptisms. You know, those things don't just happen. There's got to be encouragement. There's got to be learning. There's got to be caring. We care. You know, our first core value, we have, I think, 8 core values. The first one is all people matter to God. Say that with me, will you? All people matter to God. Yeah. And so, actually, we want to take time just for a second to thank you for your giving, for your tithing and your gifts, your offerings that support these ministries of the church, because we don't have outside funding. We don't have any sugar mamas or sugar daddies, you know, pumping millions of dollars into this. We don't sell things online. We don't hawk things. The pure and simple thing is what you do, what you give, funds those ministries that allows us to care for those. So thank you for what you give.
Jesus continues in this verse. I'm going to read part of it again. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Then he says something very interesting. And to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James seems to put these things together. It's like part of one sentence is one thing and another sentence is a whole different thing. To keep oneself polluted from being polluted by the world. So he's talking about genuine religion. Polluted is a really strong word. What does that mean? By keeping ourselves from being polluted by the world. There's a Bible scholar, his name's N.T. Wright, and he says that it means to, quote, prevent the world from leaving its dirty smudge on you. To prevent the world from leaving its dirty smudge on you. It means refusing to be driven by our own appetites, our own desires, our own selfishness, our own it's all about me. It's not compromising when it comes to things of God. It's standing on the truth, not compromising. Generally speaking, it seems that our world, our culture is pretty me-centered, not God-centered. And that kind of thing seeps into our souls. I think that's what James is warning about. James is talking about, you know, our souls being polluted.
When we're talking about genuine religion, we're talking about keeping ourselves from being polluted by the world, as James says. That means being God-focused, Christ-centered, Spirit-driven. God's grace, His love, is an invitation to holiness. Let me say that again. God's grace, His love, is an invitation to holiness. And what does that mean? What's that holiness? What's that mean? Well, that means being different. It means being, here's a churchy word for you, consecrated. Say consecrated. Consecrated. And that just simply means the same thing as holy, set apart for God's purposes, set aside for God's purposes. Not an arrogant, condescending, judgmental kind of way, but in a knowing who we are, and more importantly, whose we are kind of way. Check out the words from 1 Peter as he quotes from the Old Testament book of Leviticus. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. Here you go. As obedient, who here likes to be obedient? Right, yeah. As obedient, that's what we're called to though, as obedient children, do not conform to evil desires, to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, when you didn't know what you were doing. That's past tense. Now you do know what you're doing, so don't be doing it. Don't conform to those evil desires. But just as he, hello, who called you is holy, God is holy, Christ is holy, Spirit is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, say this last line with me, be holy. Because I am holy. Wow.
So what James is saying is that we know better. We've heard truth. We can choose to accept it or deny it. And he's challenging us to be holy as Jesus is holy, to live our faith in action. That's what we talked about last week. And to claim Jesus as our mentor, our guide, our model. Jesus, he was in the world, but not of the world. And that's our challenge too, to be in the world. We shouldn't isolate ourselves from those things around us and what's going on, but be a light. With watching our tongue, not slaying this or that. Oh my gosh, we can do so much damage actually to Christianity when we're mean-spirited. That's not who we are. God is holy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Be holy because God is holy.
So what about you? Is it easy to be holy? I don't think it is. With God's help, is it possible to be holy? Absolutely. With God's help. So what about you? We urge you, take a little time and read this book of James. It's only 5 chapters. You can do it. It's just 5 chapters. His letter is a great reminder about genuine faith that we talked about last week. Next week, we're going to talk about genuine wisdom. He talks about that. But last week, genuine faith transforms lives. We put faith into action. Faith without works is a dead faith. And then this week, that genuine religion points to holiness, to being set apart for God, to not doing the same old as the world would, but to do it God's way rather than our way. Points to holiness. Our mission here at Connection, say it with me, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers. One more time, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers. You know, what this does is help us live that out, amen? It's not always easy, but it's important, it's crucial, and we need to follow what James is telling us. So here's the question for the week. What about you? Genuine religion? Let's live it. Let's believe it. Let's pray. Most holy God. That James guy, he's kind of a hard hitter here. Genuine religion. Be holy. We can do that with your help, Lord. Please help us to look to you for that strength, for that courage, for that for what it takes to be set apart, to not be of the world. We might be in it, but we don't have to be of it, Lord. Please help us to be of you. Please help us to be Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-centered, and God the Father-centered. Let us always focus on you, Lord. Please help us. We pray these things in your name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all those gathered this morning said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life He offers.